Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. So as you come into this sanctuary, you will see on that wall up top there, it says that we have come to worship God in the splendor, in the beauty of his holiness. And when we come in here, we are to ascribe to him, as we have sung in our songs, that we are to ascribe glory to him. We are to ascribe to him the glory, the honor, and the strength due to him, because he is God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. And the psalmist also tells us that the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. So when we come into his presence, and when we come into the sanctuary, his glory overshadows us and he blesses us with peace. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, God calls his people to be holy. He says, be holy because I am holy. To be holy means to be set apart. God is holy, and there is none like him. That is why the four living creatures cry out, holy, holy, holy. He is set apart to himself. But we are to be holy. We are set apart for him, to worship him, to do his will, to serve him, to be like him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, the second part tells us that in this world, we are like him. Or in the King James Version, it says, as he is, so are we in this world. What does that mean? In this world, we are as he is. We are like him. What are the implications of this verse? It implies that the world can only see God as they see us. It implies that we are different from the rest of the world because we have God in us. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We belong to a different kingdom. We come under a different king, a different set of rules, and we don't do the things that the world does. We do what our king tells us to do. We know where we come from. We come from God because we are born again of the Holy Spirit, and we have a Father who is in heaven, and we know where we are going because we are going back home to our Father in heaven. And it also implies that we have the Holy Spirit in us, who transforms us from one degree of glory to the next, so that we can be as Jesus is in the world. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. In this passage of scripture, Paul prays, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this age, but also in the age to come, in the one to come. And God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body. The fullness of him fills everything in every way. Now, this is a very powerful passage of scripture. It says, and I pray that we all may be, as Paul prays, be enlightened in our hearts so that we may know the hope to which God has called us and the riches of God's inheritance for us. And that we may know this incomparably great power that is in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. Now, it tells us here that God has placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. Now, Jesus Christ is God eternal. But when he came down to earth as man to be our Savior and Redeemer, he founded his church. Jesus founded the church. And he says that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, God the Father put everything under the feet of Jesus. For what reason? It is for us, for the church, which is his body. Which is his body. Now, what it says to us here is that there is great power and great authority when we are in the body, because Satan is under the feet of Jesus. Amen. Now, if we are a part of the body, but we are not connected to the body, if we are just a believer, but not connected to the body of Christ, not connected to the church, that power, which is seen, you know, when the church comes together, it's not going to be available to you. See, if you are apart from the body, the feet is meaningless to you because you're not part of that body. And so when Jesus has put these enemies under his feet, it's only when you are part of the body and you can say to the devil, you are under my feet. Now, most of the time we think that, okay, the devil is under my feet, the devil is under my feet. But there is greater power when you are part of that body, because God has placed all things under the feet of Jesus and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Everything means everything in the heavenly realms, because Jesus Christ has been raised above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, and every title that can be given. Everything in the heavenly realm, angels and demons, Jesus Christ is above them all. Jesus is the head of his church. We are his body. And everything else is under our feet. It means to say that it's great power and great anointing when we come together as a church. Together, we put the devil under our feet. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 tells us that Jesus of Nazareth went about, because he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, he went about doing good and healing all those who were under the oppression of the devil. So it means to say, when the Apostle John said, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Or in this world, we are like him. It means also to say that whatever Jesus did when he was on earth, we are to do likewise. That we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit and we should go about doing good and healing all those who are under the power of the devil, because God is with us. So we should not be cowering with fear of the devil or what the devil can do to us, because he is under our feet. And we are too. As Jesus did on earth, he showed compassion to the lost. He saw them as harassed sheep without a shepherd. And so, likewise, we are to see the lost as being harassed by the devil, sheep without a shepherd. We are to love as Jesus loved. Jesus sends us out with the authority of his name, the name above all names. At his name, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And he told his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations. God, Jesus, has delegated his authority to us. Jesus has given us his name to use. He sends us out. And he says in the Gospel of Luke, he says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. We have been given authority to trample upon the demons and all the diabolical works of the devil. And we are to trample upon them. And Jesus promised, nothing will harm us. Hallelujah. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than this, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Jesus told us that we can do what he did on earth and even greater things because we are more in numbers. Either the word of God is true or God is lying to us. God says in the book of Numbers, he says, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? So if God's word is true, why don't we believe it? And why don't we act upon it? You know, the whole world is now gripped by this fear of coronavirus, or COVID-19, whatever you call it. And you know, people behave irrationally when gripped by fear. You know, they empty out supermarkets or whatever they can get. And they hoard and stockpile of all things toilet paper. And they take the children out of school even when the government says, no need to take your children out of school. Churches close their doors even before the government imposes 500 limit on the number in the room. Christians stop attending church services for fear of catching the virus. You never know who's got it. And they want to listen to a worship service online when the government hasn't even banned church gatherings. You know, some pastors even cancel praying together when there are only 6 or 7 of them, just in case another pastor's got the virus. You know, when people are gripped by fear, they are irrational. And their behavior is irrational. And of course, I want to say that we as a church are not so heavenly minded that we are of no earthly good, okay? And we are not socially irresponsible. As you know, that you know, we've got all these sanitizing that we can do, what has been recommended to us. You know, we do all the social distancing. As you can see, we have 3 services until further notice. We have 3 services and we are told to, you know, sit further apart. We're doing all that the government tells us to do. So we are law-abiding citizens. And there is no need to be fearful when we come to worship the Lord. During a major crisis, a line is drawn in the sand to reveal who has genuine faith and in the Word of God and who doesn't have. You know, there are many who say that they believe but still live in fear, and who defended their faith by saying, you know, I'm just exercising common sense. And you know, they have so much human sense that one wonders where the faith is. Is it their faith in the power of the devil to give them the dreaded virus? Or is their faith in the power of God to save them from the virus? What kind of faith is it? What is faith? Who and what we are having faith in? Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We can only hope for what God has promised, not what He hasn't. And can only be certain of what He has promised will come to pass. Because God is faithful, He is able, He is willing, and He is powerful enough to bring about to pass what He has promised. We cannot have faith in our own abilities to save ourselves, to protect ourselves from this dreaded virus. We can't even have faith in the government. When the government passes rules and regulations and all that, it is, you know, the government is only based upon the advice of its chief health officer or medical officer. And that changes and evolves with time. But only God can save us. And He is willing to save us. That's what Jesus came for. But we must have faith in Him. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever draws near to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You know, from time to time, I hear people say, I believe in God, but nothing happens. Oh, God helps those who help themselves. But I can't find this in the scriptures. When God is silent, or seems to be silent, we need to ask ourselves a few questions. Namely, do we genuinely believe that He can save us or heal us? And do we earnestly seek Him? What kind of faith do we have? Are we doubting God? Are we living in fear? On the surface, some Christians or many Christians appear spiritual. But when a crisis comes, their faith flies out of the window. They're overcome by fear and scramble to find a solution, like the non-believers. What kind of witness are we giving to the world? Aren't we just like them? Well, we are supposed to be as Jesus is in the world. In Matthew chapter 9, we're told that two blind men came to Jesus for healing. And they were very persistent and they followed Jesus all the way to where Jesus was living. And Jesus asked them, do you believe that I can do it? I can heal you? And they say, yes, Lord, we believe. And what was Jesus' reply? Jesus replied, according to your faith, will it be done to you? According to your faith, will it be done to you? If you have no faith, or if you have weak faith, you do not expect to see miracles. What kind of people does God expect us to be? Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." The righteous, we are made righteous by the blood of Jesus. We must and we will live by faith. And Hebrews chapter 10, verses 37 to 38 says, "He," that means Jesus, "who is coming will come and not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased." Faith brings the promises of God from the supernatural realm into the physical realm. Faith is tapping into the power of God. Faith is not psyching ourselves to believe. "Oh, I believe. Faith is believing so that we can see the promise, see the power of God come true. Faith comes from an experiential knowledge of God. It comes from hearing the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And it is strengthened by associating with people of strong faith. It comes when like-minded people come together to worship God and edify one another. Doubt and fear come by hearing bad news, fake news, misinformation. They come by repeated talking, repeated exposure to such bad news. Fear and doubt are anchored in what is seen, what appeals to our human reasoning apart from God. Because doubt and fear comes when we use our human reasoning based upon what we see and hear around us. And God is taken out of the equation. Fear and doubt come by associating with people of weak faith or no faith. And fear is very contagious. It spreads much faster and more widely than the coronavirus. Fear is our heart's response to Satan's intimidation, and we agree with him. The devil says, "If you come to church, you will catch the virus," and we agree with him. Fear gives Satan power over us. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Let's read this fairly long passage, but I would like to read that. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, as all the more as you see the day approaching." So here the writer of the book of Hebrews is reminding us. He says, "Therefore, we have confidence to enter into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. It's a new way open to us through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, always to intercede for us. He is our great high priest. Therefore, we have confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies. And so let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Let us not lose this hope. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let us consider how we may spur one another up to love and good deeds. Let us encourage one another to have faith in God. Let us get rid of doubt and fear. Let us encourage one another to have faith, to believe in the words of God, to believe in the words of Jesus. Let us not give up meeting together. All the more as the judgment day approaches. Jesus builds the church, his church. He is the head of the church. We are his body. And the word church comes from the Greek word ecclesia. And in ancient Greece, a herald or a town crier would cry out on the streets, calling people for a meeting, assembling the people together, come out into the streets for a meeting. So when the people assemble together, that is ecclesia. When the meeting is over, or was over, then the ecclesia was dismissed. The ecclesia was disbanded. The church is not the building, and it's not the name NLCC. The church exists only when we come together. When we do not come together, church is not church. It's only a building. But when we come together, Christ is present in our midst. His glory is present. And his power is present to save and to heal. Jesus says, we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Salt imparts taste and preserves from decay, preserves life from decay. And so we are to give meaning to people's lives. And we are to help preserve them from decay. We are to impart hope to the world. Light dispels darkness and exposes all the diabolical works of the devil and shows people the way to safety. And this is what Jesus tells us to do. We are not to allow our light to hide under the bowl, but to put it on the stand, to give light to everyone in the house. And he says, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Church, it is time to let our light shine and to give people hope in a time of universal sense of despair and hopelessness and fear. We should be the one giving hope to the world. We have the good news. Instead of cowering in fear, self-isolating, telling everybody the bad news, let me just briefly remind you of the life of John G. Lake, which Pastor Chris shared with you a few Sundays ago. But maybe some of you fell asleep during his sharing. Now, J.G. Lake was a missionary to South Africa when a deadly plague broke out in Johannesburg in 1904. Okay, he went about healing, caring for the sick and burying the dead, with no protection of any kind. And when the British government sent doctors and medical supplies to him, the doctors wondered, how come you did not catch the disease? And you didn't have any protection. And he quoted Romans chapter 8, verse 2. He said, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. And he said, as long as I walk in the light of the law, no germ will attach itself to me. And the spirit in me will kill the germs. And he put his faith to the test, if you remember what Pastor Chris shared. He told those people to take the foam out of the dead person's mouth that came out from the lungs and put the foam under the microscope and had a look. They were teeming with live germs. Then he took some of the foam and put it on his hands and put that under the microscope. They found that the germs died instantly. Hallelujah. Well, maybe some of you will say, well, it's all very good for J.G. Lake, Mr. Lake. He's not for me, you know. I don't have his kind of faith. I'm a very practical person. I do what common sense tells me to do. So don't put pressure on me and don't take me on the guilt trip. The whole world, including the most powerful nation in the world, is now gripped with fear of the coronavirus. Entire countries are being locked down. God is shaking the whole world. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 to 29, says, "See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth," that means on Mount Sinai through Moses, "how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven through Jesus? At that time, his voice shook the earth," that is, shook Mount Sinai. "But now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." And the words "once more" indicates the removing of what can be shaken, that is, the created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For God is a consuming fire." There is only one hope for the world: the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now is the best time to make Christ known, to give life and hope to the world. But if we have the same attitude as the world, the same mind as the world, and we behave like the world, and we are no different from the world, and we cannot give them any hope, we need to be like the men of Issachar, mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. The men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. We should be like the men of Issachar who understood the times. Do we understand the times that we are living in? God is shaking the whole world. He's shaking so that what can be shaken will be removed, and what cannot be shaken, that is only his kingdom, that will remain. And we are the new Israel, the new people of God. Do we know? Do we understand the times that we are living in? And do we know what we must do? Now is the time to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. More than any other time, now is the time to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous, wonderful light. Will you take the challenge? Are you fearful? Today, you can replace your fear with faith. You can be an encourager, giving hope to others instead of being influenced by others, and be fearful. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that we belong to you. We are the sheep of your pasture. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you lead us from strength to strength, from glory to glory. And you are continuing to change us and shape us and mold us that we may be like Christ. Lord, we thank you that we are your people. And as we gather together, as we obey you and have faith and gather together to worship you, you are enthroned in our praises. We thank you that your presence is here, your glory is here, your power is here to save and to heal. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have. We thank you, Lord, for all your promises, for they are all yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We bless your holy name, Lord. We claim every promise that is ours in Christ Jesus. Every blessing that flows from the cross of Calvary is ours in Christ Jesus. As we gather together, as your church, as your body, Lord, you are the head, and the devil is under our feet. And we praise you, Lord, that we can trample upon snakes and scorpions and overcome all the works of the enemy, and no harm will ever come to us. We thank you, we praise you, we bless your holy name. Amen. Amen.